All right, then, so BBS Radio. We have more people that's joining over the conference call online. And I ask people to say the name of the location. We welcome you.
Hey, this is Quinn. I was just getting back in.
Welcome back, Quinn. Okay, and Dwayne, welcome back to the main. Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Michael Waterly.
Hey, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Hey, Michael.
Hi,
Michael. Hello.
How you doing, Michael?
Hello to all of you. And while we're on here, I will silently do a grounding for all of us. Okay?
Thank you, Michael. And so here we are live on BBS Radio. I welcome those people who are on the internet. Thank you so much for being here. We actually, Wynn and Terry are not here yet. Probably they are at the show in Denver today. Wynn was supposed to be here. I think here he is. Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good morning. Hi, it's Wynn.
Hey, Wynn. Good morning.
Hi, Wynn.
Good morning.
Hey, Wynn.
Wynn
Good morning.
In Denver,
yeah.
Wynn in Denver, Colorado.
Wow.
I heard of that.
Steve Zarpus.
All right, Wynn, we are here with a bunch of people, and we are live on BBS Radio, and Carla has also joined in over here.
Okay.
And we just...
Hi, Carla, are you there?
I'm here. Hey, Wynn.
Hi, just a general announcement. Terry and I are doing called the International New Age Trade Show. We have my Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce book here, and we have pendants here, and it's for stores. And the show is going on right now, and Terry is sitting at the booth, and I'm here in the lobby of the Expo Center. So I'm just going to come on for a little bit at the beginning, and Hives, you know there's like a meditation that's uploaded, right?
Yes, I have a few things lined up over here that I can...
Yeah. There's the meditation, there's songs, and Carla has agreed to help and maybe help lead a planetary meditation. And so this is where I hope I can finally be dispensable, all right?
No way, man.
It's a lifelong...
No way.
Wait a long
time. For a long time, For a long time, you want everyone to pay attention to you, and then you want to be dispensable. So, in any case, go ahead, Hives.
All right, we still had a few people join in here over the last minute. Talk to you, and if you want to, please say your name and location.
Anna in Berkeley, California.
Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Steve Zarpus in McLean, Virginia.
Good morning. We welcome you.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Wynn.
How can I miss you if you don't go away?
There you go.
You know how fun it would be to put all these people in a room, blindfold everybody, and we could still probably find each other because of our voices?
Yeah.
That's right.
You're from Michigan. You're from Pennsylvania.
That's a great idea. We're going to have an event. We'll blindfold everybody. And they'll be sitting in the room, and you'll hear, ding, ding.
That's Michael. I know his ding anywhere.
I turned the dings off right now, so.
Hey, I got to tell you, I got one of the most amazing emails yesterday, which if I had it together, I would read it. I wonder if I can find it. I don't know if I can find it. Who is it from? It was from, maybe he's on the line. I don't think he minds me sharing it. The fellow in, what's that city? Michael, was it? In California, that started with a C. You know what I mean?
Encino?
Huh?
Encino?
I think so, yeah.
He's on the line here with us.
You're on the line. Is that Michael? Do I have his name right? Guys?
Yes, there's a Michael from Camino, California. You're here with us, right? I can't hear him now, but...
Michael, are you there?
Yes,
in Camino?
Okay.
Michael, you want to share your story? You want to share your story when we start the recording? Are you there?
Sure,
You know what? It's really inspiring, because you know it's like I tell people, some people have to be on the line for a few months, and I hope that, you know, it's not a few years, but even if it's a few years, it's worth it. But Michael's one of those people that wasn't having an experience, and then suddenly he had an amazing experience. And he sent me an email about it yesterday, and I thought it would inspire some of you to hear what happened to him. So, guys, whenever you're ready to start.
All right, I'm going to first mute the lines, and I will unmute Michael his line, and then we're going to press the recording. All right, here we go.
Okay.
This conference is being recorded.
Okay. Now, I think Heist didn't mean we're playing the recording. Hello, everybody. This is Winfrey, and this is the 23rd. Is that right? I think so. This is June 23rd, 2013, our Sunday grid healing. And this call is going to have a little bit of a different format, because Terry and I are at a trade show in Denver, and it's going on right now, and I just left the booth for a little bit to be here, but Heise and Carla are going to kind of keep the flow going, and Heise has some tape recordings or audios of one of our meditations, guided visualizations, that he's going to play. And I'm sure it's going to be really great. In fact, it'll probably be even better, because you guys are just used to me, and now you'll see how well other people can do if I'm not here. So I thank Heise and Carla for coming to the plate and being here to handle this. And just before we started the tape recording, we were having a conversation with Michael in Camino, California. And, you know, I get incredible emails all the time from people who are having epiphany things go on as a result of listening to these calls. And sometimes I read them, sometimes people share their experiences. And the reason to hear these things and hear somebody's experience is because our premises are so far out of the box. And if you're one of those people who are newly listening and evaluating, you know, there's something that goes on that says, can this be real? And even I had to say that for at least 3 years, maybe longer. Maybe even now I say it, can this be real? And nonetheless, people have these amazing experiences. And it's the experiences that other people are having that convinced me not only that it's real, but hopefully for some of you, it'll keep you hanging in long enough until you have your own direct experience. Now, that's, you know, everyone is totally unique and different and has their own cycles and their own timeline. So some people come on the call the first time and they're just totally out. You know, here's one of the things that happens. People come on, they go really out, they get really high, and they're like that for a couple of weeks, and then they crash because all their other stuff comes up, because they didn't really work out the lower levels. They had a quick respite to the higher levels and then crash to the lower levels. Then another thing that happens is somebody is totally ready. They've worked out all their lower level stuff. They've been working hard for probably lifetimes. And they come on this call and it just is the missing link to fit all the puzzle pieces together, and they don't go backwards. They just hold the space. And most often is somebody will come on the call and they'll feel like the camaraderie, they'll feel something good, but they don't feel any energies. And they don't quite know what we're talking about. And those people are people that if they keep hanging in there, now you see there's no guarantees. You could be wasting your time. Actually, even if you don't have to feel the energies to get some kind of positive impact from this. But a lot of times if you hang in and you come into these calls, there's a clearing process that starts to happen. And remember, our sources honor free will. So there's this process that goes on where you start asking for their help, their interventions. And, you know, the way that looks is then you're not their minion. You're not their slave. They don't have power over you, nor do they want that. It's a co-creative interaction where they exist in another dimension where they can flow into this dimension, and they can flow into your consciousness in a way you can feel them, just as someone might sit in a room and you can feel their presence. And if you close your eyes, you know they're in the room. There's an energy between you and them. Well, these sources, these group souls, have a similar, somewhat similar relationship where they have an energy, but they just don't have a body that sits in the room. But they can project into the room. And for them to do that, first of all, you have to be willing to receive that. Like, they're not going to push themselves on you. So there has to be an openness. Most of it has to be a trust developed. That's one of another reason why sometimes it takes time to have this experience, because you don't have any trust yet. And that's good, because it's good not to have trust for something that's new and that you don't understand. It's good to check it out really carefully, because you don't want to open up to the energies of something that you don't feel really comfortable as to what it is. So trust is developed over time. Trust is developed making sure that you don't feel we have any agendas. We're not trying to sell you something all the time. We're not trying to control you. We're not trying to make you feel guilty. We're not trying to put you into fear. And really, I don't have to do this. I'm doing it because I choose to. You don't have to show up. You're doing it because you choose to. One of the great things about keeping things free is it keeps any hidden agendas of making money out of the picture. It doesn't mean we can't charge for a workshop here and there or do this or that, but the body of our work is free. It's for anyone that just listens on the internet or picks up the telephone. And then I'm working really hard. You know, we're here at this show selling pendants to New Age stores. And that's the way where I decided that we're going to try to cover the expenses and the time of doing all these shows. Carla's husband has a landscaping business, and she's decided to do things. And he decided that that's how he's going to help Carla do her work. So, you know, that keeps it clean, because it means never are we manipulating you to come to these calls and spend money or charge you for it. In other words, never are we saying, okay, you want to graduate this planet? Here's the keys. It's only $300, this, da, da, da. It's free. And, I mean, that doesn't mean we can't ask for donations. That's free will. It doesn't mean we can't sell a workshop. But the body of our information and the things that are most important on both Carla's website and my website are free. And there's people that are listening right now. Right now, you know who you are that we never said hello to, that never spent any money with us, that never sent a donation. And you're on this call, and you're saying, God, I'm so glad I'm here. I can feel it. And, you know, those are the people that a year down the line send me an email and are having, oftentimes having, these amazing epiphany reactions. So Michael in Camino, California, sent me one of those kinds of emails yesterday. And Michael, let me see if I can hear you. You might have to do star six.
Michael, it's unmuted.
Okay. And hi, we are recording, right? Yeah,
yep.
We're recording. We're recording? Okay. Yeah, Michael, why don't you share your experience? How long have you been coming into our calls?
Probably about 7 months.
About 7 months. And I think you heard me on George Norrie, right?
I first heard you on George Norrie. I just, by coincidence, happened to be listening to the show, which I don't always listen to. I just happened to be listening to it and caught the last part of your show. I heard about your book. Sounded interesting to me. I ordered the book, and then I started reading the materials, and then I started coming to the call. But I had to use replay. I didn't have Skype. So I'd go to the calls and listen to the replay. And lots of it made sense. Pretty fantastic story. You know, I was, since my wife passed away 7 years ago, I was really trying to figure out, where did we come from? What is our purpose? What is our destiny? You know, just like most people.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to figure that out before I heard of you. So I wrote you an email to give you some feedback. And first I would go to the calls and the replays. It would make sense, and I enjoyed it. I didn't believe everything. You know, I was using my discernment. And I wasn't feeling the energy, but I wasn't stressed out about it. Everybody's different. You know, I didn't feel anything, although I'd like the feeling of coming to the show. Then I guess the point, I went to a live call. I got Skype and was able to go to a live call. On that call, made a lot of sense to me. I went to bed at about 3 in the morning. And I had made up my mind before I went to bed that I wanted the Elohim or the Ra group. I wanted them to contact me if they wanted to. I was ready. I was ready for that. And I believed enough in the information that I had learned that I was willing to take that next step. So, you know, that was just in my mind. I didn't state it, but that was just in my mind. I go to bed, and at 3 a.m., I hear this crystal clear ding-dong, just like a doorbell. Not from my ears, not from my own doorbell, because I don't have one like that. And it just woke me. I had to sit straight up, and it was a crystal clear sound coming from inside my head, not from my ear. It was like something I've never heard before. Crystal clear. And I go, well, like, what is that? And I go, oh, that must be the Elohim asking my permission to come in. It's a doorbell. Ding dong. And I couldn't believe it. And the only thing I go is, well, is that my doorbell? I go, well, I don't have a doorbell on my house, physically. So you know, it just came to me. It's the Elohim. They're just asking permission to come in the house. How cool is that? And I just smiled. I was shocked, but I was, you know, I wasn't afraid or anything. It was like amazing. Like, these things don't happen to me. And I eventually went back to sleep, and then from then on, I, you know, followed the material, and, you know, that's basically my story. I just wanted to give you a feedback. And because of that, in previous calls, slowly, step by step, I started feeling the energy. I had no idea what you were talking about when Wynn was talking about shifts. You know, I didn't know, what is he talking about? You know, I didn't feel anything. But then I started getting chill down my spine at certain points in the call. The first time I got chills, it was actually the end of a call when everybody thanked Hayes and Wynn and Terry and everybody. And everybody was saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I got this surge of chills all the way down from my head, all the way down to my feet. And then pretty much every call after that, at some point in the call, I will get that surge of energy, which I never had before. So anyway, that's basically the feedback I wanted to give you, and thank you for all the things you guys do. And how has it impacted me? It's calmed me down. You know, I believe, you know, I believe that all this makes amazing sense, even though it's the most fantastic thing that's probably ever happened to anybody, that all this can possibly be real. But to me, it is real. I know it's real. And to me, it's calmed me down every day, a little less stressful in all the day-to-day trials and tribulations and all the stuff that we go through in 3D. And it's just made my life more peaceful. When before, you know, it was a lot more chaotic. And I really appreciate that. So I just wanted to give you that feedback. So that's basically my story. You're
Michael,
putting the pressure on me here, Wynn.
Michael, I want you to know, I want to personally guarantee you just changed a bunch of people's lives right there. Okay? So thank you so much. You know, you probably feel, you know, not completely secure public speaking, but you did a great job. And you're sincere. We know you're sincere. And that's an amazing story. You know, when you realize that, I mean, it's different for every person, but they were so considerate, they rang your doorbell. And then after that, you felt their energy. And it's a great, great testimonial. Thank you for coming forward on that. And, Hayes, are you there?
Yes, Wynn.
I am going to turn it over to you, and I'm going to turn my phone off. And this is like giving birth to a baby and launching it. I'm not going to look back. And so Carla is ready to do her song. We have music. We have my meditation, the audio of it. And I would suggest that if Carla feels comfortable stepping into it, let her do a planetary meditation. And if she doesn't, you can do it, okay? Let's play it by ear, and we'll see you all, you know, for a regular show tomorrow night, okay?
So, all right, Wynn, thank you for being here. Say hi to Terry, and good luck at the booth today, man.
Thank you so much.
All right. All right.
And again, thank you, Michael. And we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great Sunday, everybody.
Yes, Michael, that was a wonderful story. Thank you, Wynn. So from here on, Carla, are you present over here?
I am. Thanks. I can't say that I'm confident because Wynn is such a talker, and I'm less of a one. You know, we Southern women are not trained to talk. We're trained to sit there and go, isn't that interesting? Yes, and tell me more. But I am glad to step in and glad to be part of this. I find the show to be a lovely way of getting in touch with the energies that are around us and good to be more closely in touch, and it's so important to have a group to do that with, because a group really brings it in so much stronger. So, Heiss, let's talk real quickly. He was talking about you had some music. Shall I talk for a while?
No, well, I have several things lined up, a personal healing session, also a little channeling session with Terry, and also a planetary healing session with Wynn. So I have plenty of stuff available over here.
Well, I'm glad to do the planetary healing, and I'm glad to talk for a while, figuring out the time. How long would you like me to talk? And I can come in and out, too, if you like.
Yes, you know what, I kind of like to stick to the usual way we do it, is that we start with the personal healing first.
Okay.
Whereafter we have, you know, you can talk if you want, and then we'll do the channeling session from Terry.
Yeah.
And then after that, if you want to do a planetary healing, Carla, that would be great.
Okay.
And we can eventually do that.
When do you want me to stop talking? If I start talking now,
I want you to stop right now.
Okay.
We're gonna do first the personal healing session that takes about 28 minutes, and then we'll take it from there, Carla.
All right. You go ahead then.
All right. We have a bunch of people here on the call, on the conference line. That is so great. Thank you all so much for being here. And then I don't know the number of people on the BBS line, but I know there are a bunch of people there as well. Thank you all so much for participating with us. And right now we will start the personal healing session, which is a recording from some time ago. All right, here we go. 28 minutes, and please enjoy.
And if you're in bed, crack your knees so your feet are flat on your mattress. And there is this theory that the entire universe is made of one energy. And the Ra group calls it the law of one. That ultimately, you and I are the same energy. You and I and the planet are the same energy. You and I and the Elohim are the same energy. It's just that we're all positioned in different places on the hologram, and there's this predisposition on planet Earth that people feel separated. They lose the experience of knowing by direct experience that they're part of each other. Now, in the higher realms, the Elohim, for example, and the Ra group are group souls, but they have the experience that even though they're many, many individuated energy forms, they know they're part of each other. So the goal of this vision is to move into the experience, not the belief, but the experience of the connection of the energies of oneness. So we start out with the Earth, and the Earth is alive. The Earth has feelings. The Earth is aware, and the Earth is part of the energy of this oneness. And as we talk about the Earth, we could imagine that the Earth is hearing us. And maybe the Earth is thinking, wow, they know I'm here. They've taken me for granted so many lifetimes. They've abused me. They've put explosions into me. They've killed people on my surface in wars. They've had nuclear blasts. They didn't know I was feeling anything, and the Earth was feeling it all, and it was hurting, and it was enduring. And so we're going to ask the Earth to send her energy from her center through the floor and into our feet. And you might notice a tingling. And if you feel that, and even if you don't, you can silently say, Earth, I love you. Thank you for being my host for so many lifetimes. And we bring the energy up from the earth into our feet, through our legs, through our calves, through our groin, through our solar plexus, through our chest, through our neck, and into our head. It's like a finger of energy coming through the floor and moving through our bodies. And we are now grounded. We are connected to the earth. And that connection is always there, waiting for you to tune into it. Now we're going to move that energy, and we're just using our imagination, through the top of our head. And imagine it is 1 foot above your head. Can you place the focus of your attention on the area a foot above your head? And you might see the energy moving through the top of your head, sometimes called your crown chakra, to that space above your head. And we're going to continue to move that energy up through our room, up to the ceiling. And now we're going to pop through the ceiling. And for some of you, you're going to be in under the sky. And for others, you're going to be in somebody else's room. And we're going to move through all the rooms till we get to the roof. And we're going to pop through the roof. And now we are in the sky above our home or wherever we are. And we're going to keep moving. We're going to move through the clouds. We're going to move through the outer energy fields of Earth. Some of you can feel something shifting in your body. We're going to keep moving up, up, and away. And we come to a point where all of our energies converge, where we touch each other. And we can imagine that we're really doing this, that we're really touching each other in our energy fields. And while we're doing that, we can say, I love you, to everyone on this line and to everyone listening to the replays. Now, we're in an invisible area, so we really can't see anything. But take note of how your body is shifting, how it's relaxing, how it feels a sense of connection, a sense of belonging. We're moving into a place of truth, of oneness. And we're not glommed there. We're just temporarily touching into it. This is free will. And you're visiting that place where everything is connected. You can imagine just the fact that we're doing this in a group is projecting an energy through the veil, through the contraction. You're moving above whatever level of contraction you have. And we are now creating a shining light in the cosmos, all of us together. And we're going to invite our group souls to join with us. We're going to imagine that they can see that shining light. They said, even when I was first asking questions to Daphne, I said, how can you notice us when there's so many billions of people down there? And they said, we can see it when people penetrate through the veil. We can see their light penetrating through. So right now, just imagine that you're being seen and they're joining us. And some of you might have noticed when I said they were joining us, there was a shift in energy inside you. Some of you are feeling around your third eye, around your forehead, around the top of your head, all this energy. Remember, you're here and you're there. And you can't take inventory there. This is like faith that maybe this is happening. But you can take inventory of how your body feels and notice the shifts. And it's your own question. Why is that shift happening? Why does my body feel different when he says that? So we've made a huge conglomerate energy outside of the Earth realm, somewhere in another dimension, and it's all of us here, all of us on the replays, and our group souls. And now we're going to bring that energy back down and directly move it through our body and see how that feels. So we're coming down the same way we went up. We went up through the clouds, we went up through the cosmos. But when we come down, we're plugged in to this energy. When we went up, it was just us and the Earth. Now we have a lot of friends, energetic friends, sharing space with us. And we're coming down, and we come through the crown chakra, the top of our head. And can you feel that in your head? Can you feel the energy? Remember how it felt when we started? Now, you can move this energy. If there's any place in your head that feels tense, send the energy to that place and ask it to relax, to let go into the energy. We go through our neck. Any place where the energy is stuck, you send it there. Usually, everybody could usually have a little help with their teeth and gums. So, see this energy as little clouds surrounding your teeth and gums. And ask it if it can heal any cavities, that it does it, any dysfunctions. Okay, now we went through our neck and we're going to look at our chest. Now, you know, the chest is where your heart is. It is where compassion starts. We're going to look at our hearts. And everybody has things in their heart that they're holding. And this compressing your heart. What compresses your heart energy? Remember, they're telling us to graduate this realm, our heart has to be 51% open. So this is a time to let go of things and get that heart open. Do you have any resentment towards anyone? Surround them in this energy. How about your parents? They brought you up and they left you with all these hang-ups. Do you have anger for your parents? You know, they did what they did because they didn't know any better. So let's forgive our parents if you need to. How about all the people you loved that abandoned you? You still angry with them? Remember how hurt you were? You opened up, you were vulnerable, and they discarded you, and they took you for granted. You got to forgive them. It doesn't mean you have to be their friend. It doesn't mean you have to condone their actions. But if you don't forgive them, you're holding points against you in opening your heart. People that didn't pay you back money. People that really left you broke and didn't care, and you thought they were your friend. And finally, the chances are all the things I just said that other people did to you, it's a good chance you did it to other people, if not this life or other lives. And it's okay that you did those things because that was in the past. And right now, you can forgive yourself and let it all go and be free of it. If you don't free yourself from those things in the past, it leaves guilt. And if you have guilt, it closes your heart down. Now, don't keep doing them, though. If you want to have an open heart, if you want to start reaching high spiritual realms, never, ever lie. Be very aware of your relationships with other people and don't create new karma. Learn how that works. You can't use somebody and abandon them because that creates karma. That creates guilt. Be very clear in your relationships if you want to open your heart. And let's move from our heart to our solar plexus. Now, you know, having an open heart does not mean wearing your heart on your sleeve. There's two qualities to add to an open heart that make it much more effective. One of them is wisdom. Wisdom is up higher. It's up in the neck, third eye area. And wisdom has to do with having discernment. Like, when you have discernment, you learn how to read people before they do something to you, and you say, I'm staying away from that. When you don't have discernment, you keep getting involved, and you get hurt, and after enough times, you start having discernment. There's no quick way to bring discernment, although consider things carefully, learn from the wisdom of other people, learn from the experiences of other people. And, you know, something I told a friend of mine yesterday, don't trust people. You know, trust is not the same as unconditional love. Don't trust people. Realize that every time you have a new relationship with someone, that trust is something that will be earned over time. It's not something to be given blindly. And if you decide to give something blindly, it's okay to do that. Just don't give more than you can afford to lose. In other words, if you're going to loan somebody money, maybe you can loan them $10. And if they don't pay you back, just take a breath and say, okay, go on, it's okay. And you'll learn from that that you can't trust that person, perhaps. But don't loan them $10,000 because now you might be homeless if they don't pay you back. So never risk more than you can afford to lose, even in relationships. Let people prove themselves over time. That's why courtship can be important, because over a period of time, you'll find out what really makes someone tick. So the solar plexus is power. Another important force that a human has, quality, that helps with an open heart. Because power protects you. It gives you the ability to create boundaries and to choose when your boundaries open or shut. And when you have an open heart, you don't have to monitor it. An open heart radiates into the space. You don't have to decide who to love and who not to love. The heart opens and it changes the energy around you. But when you get personally vulnerable with someone, that's not the same as unconditional love. And that's where you need the qualities of wisdom and power. People who have open hearts, sometimes they go to the supermarket and they feel the energies of everyone. So your power chakra, your power solar plexus, allows you to project an energy around you that keeps people's energies at a distance. So I want you all to feel your solar plexus. Take a moment and tap your tummy. And as you tap it, I want you to see energy going into that area. Have you ever seen martial arts or sushi people making sushi? They make guttural sounds from their solar plexus. Why? It increases the energy in their power chakra. We can do that together for a moment. And if no one's around you that'll think you're crazy, if you have people in the other rooms, they're not going to understand, so you can decide if you want to do it. But what's a guttural sound from your solar plexus? You ever hear martial arts people do that? If you do it, get it down low. Don't do, that's not from your solar plexus. It's put your hand in your solar plexus and feel your diaphragm tighten when you do it and go, You can practice doing that and help bring energy into that solar plexus area. I should unmute the lines, but I'm not going to. Maybe next week. We'll do it together and hear how that sounds over the phone. Okay. That must be hives. And then we go down to our second chakra. What is our second chakra? Our second chakra is our sex chakra, our genitals area. And that's an area that needs energy in it just as well as the heart and the solar plexus. You know, our bodies are animal bodies. That's just the way it is. And you have to accept your animal side without judging it and without abusing other people with it. So each of us has to develop our own relationship with our second chakra. We all have, some of us, I won't say all, but some of us have different needs than other people. And you have to learn to be true to your needs in that area. Because if you're not, it starts to shut down all your other energies. And the higher realms don't care whether you are bi, hetero, mono. The only thing that matters is that you don't create hurt for other people and you don't create shame for yourself, because there's an area here where you can have shame. And the shame may not even be because you did anything wrong. It may be because of you're conditioned. Maybe that if you happen to have, say, gay urges, maybe you've been trained all your life that that's wrong, and you feel ashamed of it. As we, when we've talked to our sources about this, and we've had questions, they said, you know, over many lifetimes, sometimes a male comes back as a female, or a female comes back as a male, and they change sexes, but they still have some of the energies of their former sex. So they tend to be attracted to the same partner, what would seem to be the same partner, but they're still carrying the polarity of the opposite partner. So this is something everybody has to figure out for themselves. And there's no right or wrong, just to not hurt people. Leave people better than you find them. It's best to have a long-term relationship. It's best. It's easier. But if you can't, leave somebody better than you find them, so there's no karma involved. And now we go down through our legs, through our feet, through our root chakra at the base of our spine, and we reconnect to the earth. And let's take a moment and feel what we've done. See if you can feel everything simultaneously, the connection to the higher realms and the connection to the earth. And your body is in the middle. Now, while you have this connection, I want you to put things in the light. I want you to imagine that our sources, and they say they can do this, are telepathic. And they can read your thoughts. Now, don't do this if you feel the least bit like your privacy is going to be violated or something else. If you don't trust us, don't do it. Just stay neutral here. But if you've been kind of coming to trust us, in this expanded space you're in, I want you to put things in the light and say, okay, I'm open to receiving help on this area of my health. I'd like to send the light to my friend who's in the hospital. I'd like to send the light to my partner because we're not understanding each other. I'd like to ask for understanding. I'd like to send the light to my neighbors who are having a fight. I'd like to send the light to our planet for healing. You can decide. But we're going to have some silence now. And I want you to think those thoughts of where you need assistance. And the more focused, the higher your intent, the more connected, the more chances of a shift.
right. It was a great session. Thank you all for being here and having this open space. And Carla.
Hi, hi.
Hi, babe.
I'm so grateful that Lynn offered me this time, and I asked just to be open to what y'all might be interested in hearing from me and how it might be good sharing with you. I thought you might be interested in the part of my life where I was just getting familiar with kicking the tires and finding out what was going on with these beings that are from other realms. You have to go all the way back to my college days in the 60s. I'll be 70 next month. So it's a long time ago. It's a half a century ago. And it was the heyday of the Rolling Stones and the Beatles, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin. It was the heyday of Haight-Ashbury and the Flower Children. And I was only tangentially a flower child. I worked steadily through that whole era, either as a student or as a working adult, working in libraries as a librarian. But things like that affect your whole being. And I was really interested in meditation. I'd heard a lot about it. I was a religious person that was Episcopalian. They're pretty sane for religious people. They don't think that you're not going to heaven because you're not Episcopalian. It's a pretty graceful church. It's a beautiful church. And one thing that they don't do well is silence, and I was looking for a silent meditation in Louisville, Kentucky, and not finding it. I couldn't, if there were any, I couldn't find them. And then I heard from a friend of mine that turned out to be my first husband, that one of his professors was going to start a group of silent meditators. And so I asked, you know, could I join? And in due time, he asked Don Elkins, a professor of physics and mechanical engineering at Speed School, at the Speed Scientific School in the University of Louisville. And he said, well, certainly, go right ahead. So there I was, 12 engineering students and I, in the home of a friend of Don's, who had just come from Detroit with some very interesting information for Don to share. Now, Don Elkins was an unusual guy from the very beginning. He grew up very independent of anything to do with his environment. He always wanted to know why. He was a scientist, and he dug, and that got him rapidly into the occult, the metaphysics, and what seemed to be spiritual realm. And he didn't have any prejudices, so he thought, well, okay, if that's where my research is leading, I'll go. And so he had heard quite a bit about things like reincarnation, which he checked out at length. He learned how to do hypnotic regressions, and he took over 200 people back through. And he discovered that he did believe in other lives because people kept going back to other lives and telling him details that they couldn't possibly have known. Everybody, bar none, was just a regular person last time through. There were no queens. There was no royalty involved. It was all farmers and shoemakers and things like that. But he discovered that, yeah, he did think that meditation, that reincarnation was the way things were. And he did think that meditation was a good thing. And then he started investigating UFOs because he was a pilot from the age of 14 on. And he was very interested in anything to do with flying. And he'd done a lot of flying before he even graduated from high school. So it interested him that there were stories of UFOs, and he would fly to wherever in the States there was a person that had experienced these things, and he would check them out. He'd talk to them personally. He'd get their information. And it all went into this sort of incredibly brilliant mind that he had. And he always said he was a puzzle maker. He was putting the pieces of the puzzle together as to how things really were. So by the time he talked to Hal Price from Detroit, and Hal had been in a consciousness-raising group there that had started because of a UFO contact, and the UFO people kept talking to this guy, and there was a lot of information to read. Don read it through, and in that was information on how to get in touch with them. And they said, pretty much the way Wynn has coaxed you into experiencing other realms, he gets us all together in a circle, and he starts talking about it, and he makes it easy to experience it, not to test whether it's right, just to experience it. And then you're left with, what did I experience? You know, let me kick the tires of this. He gets you curious. And that's beautiful. Well, Don didn't have that graciousness about him. He was just aiming for the result. And they said, if you meditate together in a group, in a dedicated fashion, you will eventually contact us. If you are seeking, you know, to learn more, if you're hunting, if you're seeking, if you're curious, and you get together, you will contact us, and we can contact you, and we can start communicating with you. So this was his real reason for starting the Louisville group, so-called. And none of us knew what he was looking for, but we sat there, and after about 6 months, some of the people started getting a lot of activity in their tongues and movements in their head, a lot of the same thing Wynn talks about, energy at the top of their skull and out their third eye on the forehead. And then people started giving little messages, just maybe a sentence long. And they would always be full of love and very uplifting. And because of the fact that all these were engineering students, they would agonize about it, and they would make the energy push the words out. So it was very laborious listening to one of these early communications. But they were very inspiring. And what was of interest to Don was that it was exactly the same kind of information that the Detroit group had gotten. And so he pursued this, and if people had a skill at, you know, channeling, so-called, he would encourage that. And sooner or later, we all came to know his story, and we all came to know what he was looking for. We knew it was a channeling group. I wasn't interested in channeling. I just wanted to meditate. So I did that for 12 years in his group. I was like the little quiet person that never raises a hand. You know, I said something at the beginning of the call. I've been trained to encourage other people and support other people and not particularly put myself forward. But finally, Don asked me if I would try. And because it was Don, and because by this time I had developed a great love for him, I simply adored that man, I said I would try. And, well, Katie barred the door. Now, when I first started trying, I got so overwhelmed with the energy that it would just, I would feel, I've never had a drug rush in my life. I just do not know from drug rushes. I've never tried the hard stuff. But I was getting that kind of rush that people describe, where it just hits you so hard that you just practically knock down. And I would just have to sit there and get through it, you know. And this went on for a couple of months. I was getting used to that energy. And finally, I started hearing concepts, and I started putting those out. And once I got the bit between my teeth, I really progressed quickly. And pretty soon, I got to the point where Don was interested enough to start recording my channeling. And that's where it began for me, 1974-75, 12 years after I'd started with the group. By this time, I'd been in library science for a long time, and I'd been doing well. I loved my job. There was nothing about take me away from all this. You know, I enjoyed living in the earth, in spite of the fact that I was going through a terrible bad marriage. And it really didn't faze me from a certain point because, well, people do, and you just, you know, things, hard things happen to people, and you have to suck it up and get on with things. So I focused on my job and focused on the meditation group and other things that gave me great pleasure and enjoy. Church was one of them. And I got through that period pretty much unhurt, unharmed, even though it did hurt. It wasn't lasting. I got over it. And after the divorce in 1968, Don actually asked me to live with him, which I did. We moved in together, and we started having these Louisville group sessions in our place instead of the original place. Where his friend had been holding them for all these years, and they were very glad for us to take them over. So we did that all the way through the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. Well, Don died in 84, but by this time, my husband Jim, my second husband, had become part of the group at Don's and my request. And so Jim and I continued to have the meditation group. So it's been probably the oldest meditation group in the United States, at least, having been in operation consistently since the 60s. I was getting really good information, just exactly when talks about it very well and gets, you know, all the dots that as crosses the T's, he gets it pretty much right in the various details of it. When I was in my late 30s, I got a contact from those of Ra. That was right after Jim joined the group. And the story of that was that it was his great energy. He had a tremendous amount of energy that fueled the working. That I didn't have enough energy in and of myself, and Don didn't either, to hold that tuning that we needed to get the Ra group. But with Jim added to the group, it was possible. And so we had a golden day, really, of 106 times where Don talked with Ra. I was the instrument, and that was the information that was published, and that was the information that Wynn saw, and when he came to see me for the first time in 2002, we'd lost Don, but we still had Jim, and I was talking about my experiences to a UFO group, a national seminar that was being held in one of the casinos, and Wynn came to see me, and it was a lovely gathering of the three of us, and Wynn played his guitar, and you should get him to sing more because he's a great singer. He writes beautiful songs. And I really enjoyed knowing Wynn, and when he came out with the book, I discovered, good grief, he had put a lot about us in there. And I was glad to see it, and I even worked with him to get some of the details more accurate. So I've known him for a long time, and there's a lot of trust and love between us. So it took me a while to believe what was happening to me, to believe that I had shifted my idea of who I was from here and now. This is my life. This is, this is getting up and going to bed and going to see the movies I preferred and choosing the food I preferred and, you know, having a normal life, to living a life where the focus was beyond this life, larger than myself, and where I knew that I had come here with a mission, that we all came here with missions. And this had been said so many different times, so many different ways, and I'd seen it proven in so many different instances by now that I no longer asked, is this true? I assumed this is the way things work. So I was determined that I was going to serve. And it seemed pretty apparent to me because of the reaction that we got whenever people saw the Law of One information, that it changed a lot of lives. And people have been very kind about writing us through the years and letting us know that it has happened, just like you all write when. And believe me, a letter like that can make your day, it can make your week. You just soar, knowing that you have actually helped somebody. To me, that is the kicker. That is everything. If you can help somebody else, you've helped yourself, you've helped the planet, you know. It seems so clear to me now. And I'm so glad that I've gotten to the point where I don't have to kick the tires. But certainly, in every time that I went into the process of channeling, I did the equivalent of kicking every tire I knew. I would tune myself up to my highest and best self before a channeling session. I would pray, I would sing, I would do everything that I knew to help me focus on doing this service. And I would set my intention, and I would tell the universe, this is my intention. I set it here. I want to serve. I want to give information that's in the vibration of the cosmic Christ, the vibration of unconditional love. And then when I felt that I was at my best, I would work with the group. I'd have them sing songs. I'd have them tell jokes, just like Wynn does. Work with them to get them more of a feeling of a group, you know, instead of just a bunch of strangers. And certainly, I think by this time in the call, nobody feels like a stranger. Everybody knows he or she belongs, and that is so critical for doing group work. You need to bring the group together, and Wynn does such a great job of that. And once you're together, then you focus on what the purpose is. And in his group, he focuses on working. He didn't have time to send me the names of the people that need healing. So why don't we just take a minute in the middle of this rambling story, and let's take ourselves back up, back through the roots of our feet, right through the root chakra, up through all the chakras of our spine, up through the head, up into the sky, where we're a group, we're together, our auras are blending with each other in perfect harmony. And we ask those people that have written into Wynn recently, let's just ask our unseen friends to please, please help each and every person that has asked Wynn for help. They will know. They have telepathy, and they will know who is being prayed for, who is being offered. And we offer those people, and we offer our group. Let's take just a minute of silence and offer those prayers that we have, those thoughts that we have for the people that are in need, mentally, physically, emotionally. Okay, we're going to take just 30 seconds. Okay, and while we're up here, while we're at that place where we are all one and where we have a common intention, let's direct our intentions the way Wynn has us do. Let's look around, first of all, and see who is talking war. I know the North Koreans have been talking war. I know that various parts of the Middle East are very upset. Syria, Iran, Iraq, some of the Eastern European countries, that have in the past threatened mayhem and wanted to wreak war on others and cause them harm, and even threaten atomic bombs in the case of Northern Korea. Let's keep them in our thoughts. Let's ask the guys, those beautiful beings that are from other realms, please touch their minds. Help them to come to understand in a more wide way, a more understanding, a more intellectually logical, a less unbalanced way, so that they can pipe down, bring down the rhetoric, decide to use diplomacy rather than war, decide to become a part of the earth instead of warring against it. And I want to tell you how brokenhearted the earth is when we are unhappy with each other and when we use her sacred earth for war. It is so painful to the earth when that happens. It's not the earth's fault, and yet the earth has to take that beating because the energies from all of us go down into the earth. And we have often heard in the readings that some of the earthquakes and some of the extreme weather that we've had and so forth are Mother Nature's way of letting the tension go a little at a time, so that a planetary shift that would wipe us all off the earth at once will never happen. It's a matter of like taking a rubber band that is pulled tight and letting it go a little at a time, reducing the tension, one disaster, then another one. It hurts a few, but it doesn't hurt all of us. And that is better. But it's still not what we would hope. So let's focus on those places on the earth where we know the trouble often happens. One place is the Ring of Fire. It goes all the way around from China and Japan and down through the Pacific Ocean to South America, up through South America, up through Central America, up the coast of California, and then up the coast of Oregon and Washington, and the Canadian province of British Columbia, and up into the Yukon and Alaska, and back around to Russia. Let's focus on asking that Ring of Fire to calm down, bring the heat down. It's not necessary to be so angry. Lessen that heat as much as possible. If it has to happen, let it happen in a lesser way, in a place where there aren't lots of people, so it can happen without damaging the people of Earth. There's the New Madrid Fault that runs actually real close to us here in Kentucky, runs through Ohio. Pretty big. It goes all the way down to the New Orleans area and down into the bay of Mexico. And we can ask that calm down, release, allow a lessening of the tension there. We ask this as a whole. We ask this as a group. Dear sisters and brothers, dear angels, we thank you so much for your help, for touching each one of us, for giving us that feeling that truly there is something more, something other than a closed-in, strapped-down life. that begins at death, begins at birth, ends at death, and we just have that little lifetime in between. In a way, that's true. We have a lifetime to do what we can to learn and to do what we can to witness and to do what we can to serve. But it feels so much better to know that we're a continuing story. We're a citizen of the universe. Our world is truly the creation as a whole. We are moving through a school. And planet Earth is a grade in that school right now. It's just finishing up third grade, third density. How good to know that we move on to fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade. Oh, my goodness, how good to know that we have so much to look forward to. And to know that death is no sort of ending and that there is no judgment, that when we die, we simply move on and leave a body, leave a physical body, and we go right on in our eternal body, our light body, that body that we're using right now. Okay, we've worked with politics, we've worked with nature, and if there's more to it than that, I can't think of it right now, so I'm going to bring you back down. Bring you back down through the densities that you've penetrated and into this density, this lifetime, this little life, down into our skies, down into Earth's home skies. It's our home for this planet. This planet is our home for this incarnation, and we love it. We're glad to be here. Down through our heads, through the crown chakra, through all the chakras, back down into the earth. And you never have to lose that ability to make this contact. It's like a chat room, like a cosmic chat room. Whenever you ground yourself and then raise yourself up into beyond yourself and into your vibration as an essence, as a being, well, there are others there too. They might be in between incarnations. That's okay. They might be elsewhere in the world. That's okay. They're on your vibration. They're your people. They feel the way you do. They've penetrated as far as you have. And they form a group. Open up, feel that group. And then rest in your higher identity. You never have to be caught up strictly into the here and now. It's good to be in the here and now, but it's not good to be imprisoned in it. You don't have to feel that prison. You don't have to feel the doors closing. All you have to do is use your mind, use your heart, open your heart, open your mind. Move up into those realms where the earth cannot touch you, where the ugliness and pettiness of this world has nothing to do with you, where you make your own choices of who you are, and your vibrations are your name. So we're down into the body once again. And I'm going to ask Heis if he would like me to talk a little bit more, which I'd be glad to do. I have an infinite amount of gab. It's just a matter of what you have planned, Heis. So what would you say? You want me to talk some more? I could do some reading about angels. I dug up a reading that I did in 2011 that's about the angels, and I could take a few minutes and read that. Let me know.
Great, Carla. Thank you so much. It's so wonderful to listen to you. So great that you did this healing session and also the story that you shared before that. Thank you so much. Yeah, great if you want to do some more. What I also have in mind is to replay a 12-minute channeling session from Terry from last year. So
okay.
Michelle, we do that first, that do the channeling session is 12 minutes, and then you pick it up from there, Carla?
Why don't we do that?
All right, great. So I'm going to start playing the session from Terry. Please enjoy. Thank you.
And we welcome each and every person who is on this call or will listen to a replay or will read the transcript later. The transcript or the replay will have the same energy and carry the same frequencies and the same vibrations as you are hearing on the original call. We have said the word vibrations. We have a very high vibration with the color pink. We are in the space of each and every person who wishes us there. We honor free will. And when a person asks, as each of you who have asked today, either silently in your own heart or with an email to win, we hear your call, we hear your plea, and we see that you are a mixture of vibrations, and we see that you each have a vibration within the third density which connects you and grounds you to your surroundings and allows you to operate and to stay focused within the location where you are. And we see that when you grasp on a certain vibration, a certain explanation, that it then affects your whole and your connection with your surroundings, with your body, with your health. The chakra system generates frequencies, and it is either operational or you exclude, due to your belief systems, certain vibrations which damps the vibration of the certain chakra system. When the chakra systems are operating fully and completely, they bring to you attraction of the things that can fulfill your life. Some of the things which can damp your frequencies towards bringing you what you wish health-wise, material-wise, are belief systems that you have that fixes you into a certain vibration. One such example would be, I have diabetes. Another would be, I have heart disease. Another would be, I have a congenital condition. When you then fix that idea, that belief system, into the whole of what you are, it contains a frequency and it is connected to the frequencies of all the other people, all the medical system, and all their belief systems about that particular disease. And you then, having that frequency fixation in your space, attempt to heal, you are then putting a different frequency on top of the frequency that you have grounded there and is grounded with the medical profession and all of the voice systems of people concerning that particular disease. This makes a divergence, a gap between what you wish and what is going on. When you bring into your belief system that you are now well and whole and all of your chakras are operating in a full body manner, in spinning in the clockwise direction, and that your foundational chakra is expressing the note, the musical note of C, then you can begin to attract and pull into you the grounding that you desire. If you have the belief that you have no home, no place to go, that you have not the financial capability, you begin to fray the vibration of your foundation chakra, and the C note may begin to be absent from your foundation chakra. And then you find it harder to attract to you, to pull in the finances, to pull in the grounding, the home that you so desire. As we see that many of you on the call are concerned about your financial condition. And we look at each and every one of you. We see which ones have placed this in the light and which ones haven't placed it in the light but have silently placed it in the light. And we see then the importance of restoring the vibration within your foundation of the C note, the vibration that will then connect you to the C note within society and connect you up with finance and with home, and with then the higher chakras, with loved ones, with the sexual experiences you desire in the next chakra up, which will then express the next note up, which is D. And then you can begin to have some power because you have support. And you can begin to support those you love and move to the next note up, the next chakra, which is E. And then, being supported, you can begin to experience to love. And you can begin to give love and compassion to others because you have a structure that is supporting you, and you can begin to share it with the next note up, the heart chakra, which is F. And you can begin to express. That's the next chakra up, the throat chakra, the expression chakra, which is G. Then, as you open yourself up to the next chakra, to remote viewing, to extend yourself out, to begin to see around you. You open up the next chakra, which is in the forehead, and that is the node of A. Then on these coils, you have been opening up your crown chakra to the higher realms where we are. And that is the node of A. And we connect with you from the crown chakra. And we send or we see you in our light, if you wish it. We see you healed. We see your chakra system is open and working fully. And we take the labels off you and allow you to set your own health, ideals, goals. And those around you who wish that also. And we help unstick those frequencies where one gets stuck in certain lower level conditions. And we open the whole thing up. We leave you, but we do not leave you. We are here with you. And we, in this very meaningful, sacred moment, touch those that wish touching Adonai.
Thank you.
Such a lovely, beautiful channeling.
It is.
I thought, Pais, if it would be okay for the rest of the time, I'll talk a little.
Yes, we.
Oh, wait a minute.
it stopped right now.
Okay.
And this has some beautiful, very valuable information for all of us. And I want to thank our sources and Terry. This was a recording from last year. And yes, Carla, please, you take it from here.
All right. This also is channeling that I'm leading up to. But it's about angels, and I thought you might like to know what one of the Confederation guys, one of the sources from higher realms, had to say about them and how to relate to them and so forth. This one reading is from February 12, 2011. The source is Kuo, and Kuo came to me after Don's death and the cessation of the Ra contact. I knew I had to stop doing the raw sessions because it was killing me. I kept losing weight and losing weight. I was giving myself, really literally. I didn't know how to do it. And I lost 2 or 3 pounds a session, and I ate enormously at that time, but I couldn't keep up. So I was about 80 pounds when Don died. And so I decided not to do any more transmeditation. So I asked the universe, please, if I could talk to Ra and not be killed, I'd like to. So within a couple of months, the Kuo group got together, and they were made up of Ra, of Latui, and of Hatan. And if you go to my site, you can read channelings from all three sources. That was so that they could step down the energies from the 6th to the 4th density, 6th to 5th, 5th to 4th, and 4th to 3rd. By having the various entities step it down. So the Kuo group is the Ra group stepped down so that I can receive it consciously. And here's what they said on February 12, 2011 about angels. The question had to do with the concept of angels. We would like to ask what angels are and how we can interact with them. And they said, we are known to you as the principle of Kuo. We greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator in whose service we come to you this evening. We are privileged indeed to have been called to your circle of seeking and are very happy to be a part of this working. It is our pleasure to speak with you concerning angels. However, before we begin, as always, we would simply ask you to take responsibility for your responses to those things which we say. Be conscious of whether or not you find our thoughts interesting. If you do, then they're yours to work with as you will. If they do not cause resonance to start in your heart, then let them go, for they are not for you. If you'll use your discernment in this way and pick and choose between thoughts according to how they strike you, how they seem useful to you or not, that will enable us to feel that we are not disturbing your free will, and it will allow us to feel freer to speak our thoughts. We thank you for this consideration. In talking about angels, perhaps it is well to start talking about humans. We also talk about ourselves, for we also have been through third density. We also have been flung out by the Creator to skitter across the pond of the universe and move through many experiences and gather those pieces of information which interest us and to seek what we desire. We and you together have had cause to feel the distance between ourselves and the one infinite creator, not a physical distance, but an emotional distance. Outer distances make far less of a difference to one's feelings than the inner distances, and we often have felt very much apart from the creator and from other selves. It is part of the challenge and part of the blessing of being a spark of the creator. You deal, my friends, with illusion, with a thick veil, with chaos and seeming uncertainty, for your entire incarnation. In a way, your life is a race that goes not to the swift, but to the perceiver of truth. You are racing not towards an object, but towards the correct perception of objects. Occasionally, one thing will come clear to you. You will have a realization about yourself, and you are one quantum step beyond where you were in an understanding of who you are. However, it is very easy to become lost in the tangle of thoughts that clutter the mind. Your mind is like a library, with your information either filed fairly neatly or filed chaotically, so that you have to send one of the librarians scurrying after it, someone's name, the proper word that means such and such. The gaps in memory are notorious among the old, but they exist for everyone. So that is what it is to be human, among other things. It is standing in two camps, 1 foot in each. One on the 1 foot, space-time, the everyday consensus reality, the matrix, call it what you will. Your other foot is in the inner world, in consciousness, in love. Furthermore, that is the point of your being who you are. You are a place where two lands come together. You are the bridge between finity and infinity, between limits and intelligence and limitlessness. You bring, if you choose, limitless and infinite love into a world that is starving for love. You bring infinite and limitless light through your energy body and ground it into the earth's energy if you choose. You ask a great deal of yourself in third density in that you ask yourself to wake up from a very comfortable slumber and become aware of the limitless potential that you contain. You become aware of your power and you seek its right use. You become aware that you do not know yourself very well and that you have been giving yourself a difficult time, looking with eyes of judgment rather than with eyes of love upon what you do, what you think, and how you feel. You become aware that you have allowed a clutter of meaningless detail to distract you from love itself, from the devotion of your deepest heart, from the hopes and dreams that you carry like treasure within yourself. And you become aware that you have the choice of how you shall be, thought by thought by thought. So you choose to take on the challenge of third density as a person who is awake, aware, and conscious, and attentive, and you make of your life a beautiful pattern, a pattern of learning and service, a pattern of responsibilities taken and manifested. And as you get to know yourself, you begin finally to forgive yourself for being human. In the fullness of time, you fall in love with yourself. And from that point on, your incarnation is easier, for the harshest critic is always the self. Yet there is no end to the challenges of life beyond the veil of forgetting. This is not the case with the angels. You have observed the regularity and predictability and hierarchical nature of the world as scientists have come to know it. The elements of which you are familiar and many of which you are unfamiliar make up not simply a random collection of elements, but elements that have an arrangement because of their nature. They fit together in a certain way. And there is a hierarchy of energies. You yourself are a perfect example of that hierarchy of energies. The energy field of the entire physical body, holding within it the energy fields of each organ, each system of hormones, and so forth. Down to the cellular level, your body understands its own hierarchy and its functions well. The hierarchy of the angels, which you have asked us about, is just as regular and predictable. You have angels at the level of creator. You have angels at the level of personal angels. You have everything in between. They carry out responsibilities according to their hierarchy. What makes angels unique is that they have never left the vibration of the Creator. They have never departed from the one original thought of unconditional love. They have never incarnated, and they never will. While they have characteristics that can seem to be like a personality, to say that angels have a personality is to anthropomorphize incorrectly. Angels are love. Angels are love, responsible for realms in a hierarchical manner. There are those which work with your sublogos, the sun, in creating the archetypal mind and the blueprint for the densities in this particular creation. There are angels who are attracted to vibrations and flock to those whose vibrations are beautiful to them. You may not feel beautiful, dear ones, especially when you are struggling. Yet to those who vibrate in unconditional love, the qualities of one who is seeking to learn and to serve are irresistible. It takes a great deal of courage to persist in a spiritual preoccupation, and each of you is very beautiful to us, to angels. There are two basic energies which angels have to offer. One is a simple energy of love itself, and the other is a feeling of safety, which could be called a healing energy. Both of these aspects are the resources which angels have to offer. Angels also have connection with the four elements and the four directions, so that as you become more and more aware of the correspondence between certain archangels and certain energies, certain powers, and certain directions, you become more able to cleanse your habitation or the area around you with the help of the archangel. There is another class of angels that is indeed angelic, and yet these angels have had incarnations. Those are the entities who have chosen to be angels, but were not angels from the Creator. Yet between incarnations, it became apparent to these souls that the work that they wished to do was angelic. And so these entities were incarnated and lived for a short time on this terrestrial ball you call Earth. And then, seemingly far before their time, they were taken. Instead of moving into the healing of the incarnation and the choosing of another incarnation, these particular entities moved into the higher realm. They are able to become angels because of their innocence within incarnation. These little ones are especially fond of those whose hearts are open and are very grateful to rest in that open heart that will accept them. As this instrument mentioned before the meditation began, it is critical, if you wish to work with angels, to thank them and to ask them to participate in your life, to be with you and to share their love and their healing and their feeling of safety. If you do not ask them, they cannot break free will. Therefore, it is important to remember each day to thank the angels that are around you and to ask them to continue helping you. We are those of Kuo, and we leave you in the love and in the light of the one infinite Creator. Adonai, Adonai, my friends. Now, that is a beautiful reading, and you've heard elements of these ideas before. Each time that you listen to Wynn, because Wynn is moving from our readings and from his own readings, and he's getting the Confederation and the Elohim straight, and he knows it well. He's a scholar of it. And if you'll remember when I was doing the Rosie energy giving, Rosie was a little angel that had come to me in 1971 at a seance. She jumped up out of the floor in her little white, you know, seance thing. Out of nothingness, she just suddenly appeared. And she ran around the room, and she came, and she threw herself at my knees. She was only a little thing, probably 4 or 5 years old. And she just clung to me, and she said, I want to be with you. I love you, and I want to be with you every minute of your life. Will you accept me? Will you let me come to you? And I said, well, do you come in the name of Jesus the Christ? I always ask that. And it's a vibration that goes far beyond this planet, I found out through research. And she said, of course. You know, it's from that point of view, it's silly even to ask. You know, of course I do. Who comes from anything but love? That's the truth, you know. So I said, okay. So Rosie is one of those angels that was born and died young while she was still completely innocent, and decided to become an angel. And she gave out quite a few angels on the program. And at one point I discovered that I didn't feel that it was really appropriate to do that, because people were expecting angels to help them with their needs for finance or their needs for, you know, to find the right mate, and, you know, to solve the problems of life. And these little ones didn't have that capacity, and it was distressing to be asked for and then to find they weren't enough. They weren't. Love wasn't enough. And so I decided not to do that anymore. So I haven't done that for quite a while. I guess I could revisit it at some point. You can write when if you really think that I ought to open it up sometime again. But I just felt like I was kind of abusing my position and, you know, asking Rosie to do favors for me where I might ask these other little ones to be hurt. So I didn't keep that up. But anyway, the Elohim that are the source that comes through Terry are at the level of planetary creation and are entirely different and do have capacities to have the big picture and to understand from that level. But they are still creatures of love. They are still creatures that have not participated in the rough and tumble of planetary life, and I think that is why they are balanced very well by the Confederation members such as Ra and Kuo, who speak through me, because you're getting a source direct from love, and you're getting a source that is from love, but it also has a much more complex footprint, I guess you'd say, as it's coming through, because it's come through all the densities up to where they are at this point. And you can map those densities if you start studying in this area and see just how far they have had to come to achieve the viewpoint, the ability to use light that they have now. It's, you know, it's just amazing that here are these entities that you think would be far beyond Earth, far beyond anything to do with Earth, far beyond us and our petty problems, but no, because we're the creator. We're little sparks of the Creator. We're very important. We are part of the Creator. We are all one. We and the Elohim and all the entities from higher source, higher realms, we are all one. And when we get together, even at this level, even in third density, we can be enormously powerful. And part of the power that we can offer is that we can connect with these powerful, powerful energies of our unseen friends. And even, you know, in our personal lives, I think it really helps sometimes just to get quiet, to do the meditation, to get from the here and now, from sitting in a chair, up through the roof, getting free of, you know, gravity and age and condition, getting out into a place where we're citizens of the universe. We are infinite, and we are one. We can touch the truth, we can feel the truth, and we can ask for more. We can ask for information. We can ask for help. We can ask for guidance. And then, of course, you know, we have to make sure that we trust all of this. But how freeing it is. Somebody asked me the other day, why in the world would you want to forgive? What is so important? She said, I see this all the time. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Well, some people, I will think, they don't deserve to be forgiven. They've done awful things. And I said, well, as long as you can't forgive them at some level, then you're not free. You're in prison with them. You're stuck being part of the energy of that that judgment. But if you go to the soul level and you say, okay, at the soul level, I see this person is a soul, and as such, as part of the Creator, I am one with that person. I love this person, regardless of what this person has done. That's not who he is, and I love him. If you can get that far, you have freed yourself from the prison of your own judgment, and I like to move free. And so that is why forgiveness is so important. Ice, I think it's time to give it back to you and to tell everybody what a delight it has been to talk with you all. I love you all so much. You are a part of me, and you're in my heart.
Carla, it's a delight to be listening to you. Thank you so much for all your sharing. And yes, we're getting close to the end. I also want to thank Wynn, Terry, and Daphne, and of course, our millions of sources in the higher skies. Thank you so much. I'm going to open up the lines, and you know, I also want to thank everybody on the conference call here with us, those listening on BBS Radio, those who listen to the replay. Thank you so much, and we are all so very important. I love you all.